Good morning, church.
Y buenos días, iglesia.
Well, Grow, we are now in part 3 out of 4 of Grow as we are in our third or fourth weeks in January. And today's theme is obeying. First it was giving. Then Glenn did a wonderful job talking about repenting. Today, Lord willing, we talk about obeying and conclude with working next Sunday morning. Grow. That is our 2020 theme. My personal prayer for the church here at Central, may His will be done. And having already discussed giving and repenting, let's talk about obeying today. Brother Sale read John 15, verses 1 through 8. Let's read now verses 9 through 17. John chapter 15, 9 through 17. So I've loved you, he says, even as the Father has loved me, remain in my love. This is one of the many Jesus monologues in the book of John, where he's just talking for whole chapters, it seems like. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love one another. I must admit, the word obey does not instantly give me a positive feeling. I don't naturally want to obey. Because it seems to me, if I obey somebody, I'm not doing what I want to do. So my initial thought about obedience is to say, well, why? I don't want to. I want to do what I want to do. Even if it's right to do, I don't like being told what to do. It's just how I am. You know, I am an admirer of the armed forces, and 3 times I tried to join. The second time, I'll get the first one at the end, but the second time was when I was 18 years old and I thought about being a nuclear engineer, believe it or not. And the Navy was really serious about that. And now I think about in that submarine and I can't imagine, I'm very claustrophobic now, but when I was 18, I wanted to do it and I passed the tests and I was really considering being a nuclear engineer. But Cornell also wanted me and I chose Cornell and I'm happy I did. Through Cornell, I met my wife, I got baptized. I think that was a good choice that I made to do that. But that was my second time, almost joining the armed forces. The third time, I was 26, having just gotten done living in Switzerland for 4 years and having a rough time in ministry. I did not want to be a minister anymore. And I wanted to join the NCIS, also the Navy, Navy Criminal Investigation Service. More than a TV show. It's actually real. I spoke to a guy and he was very serious about it, but through a series of circumstances that I can tell later, it became very clear to me, no, Alex, you're a minister. You're a minister. Do ministry. And so, here I am today. And I think it's God's will that I am here as well. But the very first time to my shame, I was in high school and I was part of a junior ROTC program. I don't think it was real junior ROTC, but it was kind of a junior one to try to see how many young people might want to get involved in armed forces and to see if they wanted to go through the process. And I really wanted to do it. But when I got to the gymnasium, and there's a guy yelling in my face and telling me to march and to stop. And I recall saying to myself, no, I don't like being told what to do. Again, to my shame, because I really respect the armed forces. But at that time in my life, I said, no, I'm not doing it because you can't talk to me that way, okay? No. You don't yell in my face like that. No. But again, I highly respect people who do go through that process. And there's a discipline in that process, which I highly respect now. But when I was 13, 14 years old, I was like, nah, no. I don't like being told what to do. And I kind of am still that way. I always have a certain, maybe it's a romantic American idea of freedom. I am my own person. I do what I want. There is no boss or king over me, no lord over me. I am not in England anymore where I have to have somebody be my master. No, I am American. I do what I wish to do. Maybe I'm very romantic in that sense. I'm free. And so I have struggled to understand obedience because Jesus Christ, who just read, says you must obey. You must do as I say if you claim to love me. And I like to think I love Christ, so I have to obey what he says. That is the condition that he has put in front of us to be with him. And I have to admit, this is giving me difficulty. Because of my nature to say no, I have to learn to obey God completely despite all my issues. So what I want to give you first and foremost are 5 or 6 of my issues that I went through to obey God. And then I want to give you 5 or 6 solutions that I went through to learn how I overcame my problems with obeying God. You see, the very first problem, the very first thing I had to overcome in obedience to God was that when I became a Christian, I was gung-ho for the Lord at 18 years old. I grew up in churches, but I was not saved. I had not obeyed the word of God. I simply went to church. But when I came to the Church of Christ, 18 years old, I discovered about baptism being part of salvation, and I was baptized in the name of Jesus. I was on fire for the Lord. But I must admit, I thought that God was more of a friend than my Lord. He certainly is our friend. He says very clearly, we just read it, you're my friend, but he also says to obey me. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have friends that tell me, we're friends if you obey me. I don't have friends like that. None of my friends tell me, obey me, we're still friends. That's not my kind of friend. And so mistakenly, I kind of applied that to the Lord when I was baptized at 18 years old. He's my buddy, Christianity. He's with me, Christianity. He's a big buddy. He's a strong buddy, but he's my buddy. I don't have to do what he says. We're in this together, was my thought. And I had to overcome that process as well because indeed he is our friend. Jesus Christ is the best friend you will ever, ever have. But please remember, he's also our Lord and Master. These two are both happening at the very same time. And so I had to overcome that aspect of my life, number one. Number two, I wasn't quite sure if everything in the Bible was totally right. They told me, obey the whole word of God. And I wasn't quite sure if all of it needed to be obeyed. Was all of it right? Was some of it cultural? Was some expired? The late, great Martin Luther King, you know, tomorrow is his day. Although he was born on January 15th, tomorrow's the day we have a day. You know, he has made so many amazing speeches. And obviously, if I give you my top three, you know, number three is probably I Am a Dream speech. Believe it or not, that's my third one. Number two is when he says, judge somebody not by their skin tone, but by the content of their character. I love that. But the third one, it applies to me also spiritually. I think it applies to me biblically as well. He said, it's actually our moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. Okay? He said, it is our responsibility morally to disobey unjust laws. And so for me, I said, is the entire Bible right? Is the entire Bible just? Aren't there things in there that don't sound good anymore? Aren't there things in there that are oppressive, I thought to myself? Can I ignore certain parts of the Bible with a cultural eraser? With an intellectual updater? I got baptized in 1996. With a 1996 point of view? So I struggle with that as well, to obey the whole word of God. Is everything there totally true, or do I have a right to disobey certain things? Number three, having been subject to control freaks all my life, I said to myself, any God who would say, obey me completely, that's not right either. That can't be what he's really trying to say. He's a loving God. Surely he would not command us to obey him completely, because for me, in my human experience of living with control freaks in my life, I knew that to be a control freak was a matter of having an ego. It must go my way or the highway. I am Lord of all this. I am master of this whole realm and regime because I want to be. And all these things are to praise to me, I thought. And I thought, is God that way? I don't like the idea of obeying him completely. That's the kind of God I want. Why does he want that for sure? Again, me trying to make sense of God from my own point of view, my own human experience. Number four, I also thought in those days of my little intellect, I thought I had to figure out why there was a command in the Word of God to obey it. I said, I will obey it if I can figure out what it means. And intellectually, I can figure out a lot of things in the Word of God. I can figure out some probably complicated things in the Word of God. I love to try to figure out the Word of God and the mysteries. I'm happy to say a lot of things in the Bible that are mysterious to others, for me, make a lot of sense. I got that, but still, there's certain things I can't figure out. There are certain ideas that I didn't want to do because I didn't want to do it in those days, and I couldn't figure out why. And so therefore, I said to myself, well, I don't have to obey it. You know, I gotta know what it means first to do it. Number five, I thought as well, if it feels good, it's right. If it causes me pain, it can't be right. It's got to be wrong. Surely God would never give us a command that would cause us pain. Surely, I mean, we are here to enjoy ourselves, right? We are here to live life and life abundantly. We are here to pursue happiness and freedom and such. And so there's no way I should follow a command that causes me pain, that causes me issues, I thought to myself. And also, finally, I used to be quite the people pleaser. If it came down to somebody being happy with me or God being happy with me, because I could see people, I would choose to probably please that person first and hope God understood. Surely, God, you understand. This is my situation I'm in right now. God, I have to do this for this person, so surely you have patience with me. Surely you'll still stick around if I just do this. And people pleasing, I just got over that. I mean, this is the past 10 years. I mean, most of these things, all these things are a progress here. I didn't just deal with them at 18 years old. I'm 41 years old now. This is a process of 23 years. Wow, 23 years having to learn how to be obedient to God and slowly but steadily trying to conquer these issues here. But I'm happy to say that all these issues here I have dealt with and or dealing with the Word of God. So I gave you the six issues that I had with obeying God, personally speaking. And I'm sure many of us share maybe one or all of these issues. Maybe you have your own. But I want to make no mistake, Jesus Christ commands that we obey Him, and it is possible and it is good to obey Him completely. So here's what I learned as I've grown in the Lord, because through all my issues and problems and trials and failures and sins, there was still one part of me that always wanted to do what is right. And that part of me convicted me of my sins. That part of me had me repenting over and over again. And that part of me had me obeying Him more and more and more. And here's how. And I got to say to you as well, reading the Bible also helped me to overcome these things. The Bible has all the answers if we read the Word of God. So back in the day, I thought He was just a friend. Just a friend, but I've come to realize that He is sovereign. He is Lord. He truly is Lord. He is King and deserves every single part of that nature that He is. Many verses that say that, but let's go to Psalm 147, verse 5. Psalm 147, verse 5. He's not just our friend. He is our friend, but not just our friend. How great is our Lord? His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. And that is true. And I found out that it is true. And there's no way around this truth. And I'm happy it's true. He's not just a friend. He knows everything. So therefore, if we choose to obey Him, we can trust and understand that we're obeying somebody who has it all covered. There's no hidden agenda. There's no problems here. He has full control and is Lord of all. In fact, is there a possibility that the Bible has an unjust law? Can I apply what MLK said to the situation? Certainly what he said could be applied to many situations, but can it be applied to the Word of God? Not quite, because the Word of God, I discovered, God has never given an unjust law. He has never been wrong or given bad advice. And as I obeyed the Word of God, see, because sometimes you have to obey it and give it a chance. Sometimes you got to say, let me try obeying it and see what happens. I don't like it. Let me try to see if it works. And it always, always has. Every time I've chosen to obey the Word of God, it's been proven to be true. With no exception. And so I know from my own life experience to be true, this is true. But the Bible also says God has never been wrong. He has never given bad advice. There is no word, there's nothing in the Word of God that expires. Nothing. It all links together. Psalm 18, verse 30. Psalm 18, verse 3, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even the Old Testament is fulfilled by Christ. Psalm 18, verse 30. I've learned and discovered that God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises are true. Oh, I know it. That's so true. If you just do what he says, it works out. All the Lord's promises are true. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you all that you need. That's the truth. I'm telling you it's true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. You know, is God going through a big ego trip? A divine ego trip in this process? Why does he want us to obey him? What is the purpose? And in my humanity, in my flawed experiences of my own past, I thought there's got to be a negative reason why. Not at all. Because I discovered when I obey God and not do what I want to do, it turns out that obeying God is the very best thing for my life. It is the very best thing I can do. I thought maybe God gave me a command. I have my opinion. Let me do my opinion. Maybe it might work out. No. When God gives a command, it is the best thing to do. And what I found out, what I really wanted to do at the end of the day, I didn't think I wanted to do it. But when I did it, I found out this is what I really want. This is my true fulfillment. I'm actually happy this way. So I discovered that God's commands are not just for an ego trip of some kind, or not for because he wants to control people. It is for our very good. It is for our well-being. It makes our lives better. In Deuteronomy 11:27, we'll just read that part of the verse there. And this is so true. He says, you'll be blessed if you obey my commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. You're going to be blessed. There's no better way to go outside of God's command. There's no better way to go. It is the very food that we need for our soul. It is our sustenance. It is our solution. Nothing else will do. Now, in that same passage, it also says very fairly, if you don't do what God says, problems come along. That's the other half of the equation. It's very, very true. But if you do what God says, I discovered it's for my benefit. It's for my blessing. It's not just a kind of ego trip at all. Not at all. I used to think I got to figure out why God said what he said to obey him. I got to figure it out. But there are things you just can't figure out. There are things that are just God said to be doing, and it has to be done. I think initially for me, coming out of a Protestant Baptist culture, I had a very difficult time accepting, ironically, being Baptist, that baptism is part of salvation. I said, it doesn't make sense to me. If I think, therefore I am, I told myself. If I believe I'm saved, if I give a sinner's prayer, that should be all I need. God should respect that. God should acknowledge that. But the Bible says, believe him and baptize, you'll be saved. And I tell you right now, I went through 2 weeks of trying to intellectually figure out why. Intellectually trying to figure out why it was. But at the end of the day, I had to understand, let me just do what the Bible says. Let me just obey the word of God and do it. And well, I did it, and life has been, I can't express to you the wonderful adventure it has been, because I obeyed Christ, and I obeyed that command about baptism. I can now tell you many more reasons why baptism is part of the I can give you all kind of intellectual reasons why, but I find it interesting, God would not allow me to figure it out back in those days. I simply had to obey. Did you know God would test you at times? God would simply ask you to obey him at times? There's no reason why he won't give you a solution to test you, that you just to do it? That's biblical. God will tell people, do as I say. And then why? Just do it. Just obey. Abraham, Joshua, it goes on and on. All the people who God said, do this ridiculous thing just to do it. Because God wants to see if we're going to obey him. And for me, that was my baptism, literally my salvation. I couldn't figure it out. I got it now. I can tell you why. But I simply had to obey the word of God. And I did it, and I was saved. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. I mean, it's very difficult coming out of this Protestant kind of mindset, but do what the word of God says. Proverbs 3, 5 says this, and this is so true. I'm going to do a whole sermon about this at some point this year. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. There are going to be things that do not make sense to you, but God says do it. Still do it. Please don't wait to figure it out. That's not a requirement for obedience to figure it out. We're never going to figure out everything in the Word of God anyway. I thought if it feels good, it's right. If it feels bad, it's wrong. And therefore, if the Word of God tells me something that causes me pain, can't be right. No. I now realize that today, even if it causes me temporary pain, I tell you right now, there are pains involved with Christianity. We are called to live against the world, live against the grain. It's going to hurt at times to do such a thing. But I tell you also, it's only ever a temporary pain. God always brings comfort. He always brings blessings. But there are times, because here's the thing about it, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ went through extreme pain for us. I've come across people at times who would tell me, if I do this, I won't like it. I don't want to do this. I know God tells me to, but I don't want to. And I say, Christ died for you. Jesus Christ went on the cross for your sins. You can't do this little thing inconvenience for him. Can you, the Bible says we are all called to carry a cross. So see, that's a qualification, but can you at least be inconvenienced for the Lord? Can you wait for God? He died for us. 1 Peter 4:12-13. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Because I also discovered many things that feel good are oftentimes bad. This temporary pleasure against everlasting pain. I prefer having a temporary pain for the Lord for everlasting life in heaven. 1 Peter 4:12-13, he says, Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. See, you get to the point where you realize, I want to go through a bit of suffering for Christ now because he went through it for me. If his suffering led to the whole world being saved, I want to go through it to save my friends, to save my family, to save my household. He said, instead be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. Finally, trying to be a people pleaser, man. That's my most recent thing I've overcome. I had to learn, I'm going to glorify God, period. If that means pleasing people, great. But if not, I'm still going to glorify God. And Paul also had the same kind of conflict I see in the Word of God. Galatians 1, verse 10, but this is Paul's attitude about this. We obey God no matter what. Paul says, obviously, he says, I'm not trying to please, to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Wow. There it is right there. Oftentimes, doing what is right, people tend to like that. But there's going to come a time when obeying Christ is going to offend people. Obeying Christ is going to not please people around us. Are we going to choose to obey Christ nevertheless? And when I've chosen to obey Christ, nevertheless, what blessings have come through? That's my journey. I wonder what your journey is today about obedience. The Word of God has answers for you. I tell you right now, where you choose to obey God is where you will have your blessings. Where you choose not to obey God is where you will have your curses, where you will have nothing going on, nothing will move, no success, no progress, where you choose not to obey God. But where you choose to obey God, you will have your success. You will have your happiness. You will have your blessings. Because once I got over all of my little intellectual, youthful problems, I experienced true growth. I truly grew in the Lord, and my prayer is that we grow as a body of Christ together. One thing I learned for sure, I have less pressure when I obey God. Isn't that interesting? I have less pressure when I obey God. Because when I obey God, I recognize I'm not doing this anymore. God's doing this now. Obedience to God is putting my life into God's hands. Therefore, my life is actually a lot easier. Check this out. Matthew 11:28. This is also part of the process. Here's why obeying God's so awesome. Because it's not like he's saying, do as I say. And he sits on his throne and just looks at you and struggles and see you struggle. No, Jesus Christ literally will assist us in obeying him. He has provided an environment by which we can obey him. This is what Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ created an environment by which we can obey him. It required his death on the cross. But he's not done working. Matthew 11:28-30 says this. This is why obeying God is so beneficial and less pressure than not obeying God. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. The heavy burden of doing it your own way. The weariness of trying to figure out life on your own. Please, come to me, Christ says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and a burden I give you is light, because he's right with us, carrying it with us. That's why it's light. Give your soul a break. Give your soul a rest. You do so by obeying the Lord. But if we don't obey God, we're on our own. We are branches without a vine. We are seeds with no soil. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 9. This is where Paul clarifies who brings growth. If we obey God, how is it going to take place? It's going to be through God and through obeying God. But without God, we will not grow. After all, he says, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Each of us did the work that the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own work, hard work, for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building, this field will not grow without the Lord. It won't grow without obeying him, and it won't grow without loving each other, as God commanded us to do. Obey the Lord. If you want God's success in your life, obey the Lord. I will clarify God's success versus your own idea of what success is. You may indeed be successful without God in worldly success, but that success is very shallow. That success cannot save your soul. If you want God's success in your life, it has to go through obedience. Joshua was a warrior who had God's success. The book of Joshua was a long, wonderful adventure to read. But it begins, and he's successful in all he does, but it begins in one way. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Here's how it starts. Joshua chapter 1, 6 through 9. And we are all embarking on an adventure, or not. We're all sitting on our hands, perhaps. But if we're embarking on an adventure for Christ, for the Lord, this is how it will go. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land. I swore to their ancestors, I will give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey. Here it is. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave to you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. That's still true. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You want to see what happened? Keep reading Joshua. And all because of those verses right here. Success, 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 success. And at the end of his life, when Joshua was older, successful, satisfied, he goes, choose this day who you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As we close, I ask you to obey God in your mind, in your body, and your soul. There are certain people who are intellectually obedient, not physically obedient. There are people who are physically obedient, but not intellectually obedient. I come across all kinds of people who know what's right, but don't do what is right, or do what is right, but for the wrong reasons. Obey God in your mind, in your body, and your soul. Obey God in your soul, in your mind, first of all. Philippians 4, verse 8. Obeying God may require this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Obey God in your mind. Obey God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Our body is a temple. Don't you realize the Bible says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and is given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, his life. So you must honor God with your body. I know the context here is sexual. That's a very important context. But anything part of our body, don't abuse your body. It's a temple of God. Obey God in that regard as well, in all areas. Use it for the Lord and not for bad things. Obey God with your soul. I would say give your soul a break. Stop trying to go on your own. Obey God and find rest for your soul. Again, Matthew 11, 29. Read that one more time as we close. This is actually beneficial for us to obey God because we have rest for our souls. Is your soul tired? Well, try obeying God. Are you wore out? Try obeying God. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I pray that we continue to grow together as people of God as we stand and sing.